Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
Back for an exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. Our special guest should be here really soon after Ron Thompson making his return to the show. This guy has had a career over 50 years. He's really been going strong. Lots of great roles, including dual starring roles in the Ralph Bakshi hit American Pop. And he actually worked with Ralph Bakshi again on Last Days of Coney Island a few years ago. And you know, we talked about that the last time he was here. I'm going to try to bring up some other stuff because he's had a great career. Of course, I do want to touch on Ralph Bakshi because I know that that man's career has had a lot of a big cult following with it. Of course, the creator of Fritz the Cat, which was really a risque cartoon in the 70s, the cartoon movie that was way before its time. I guess stuff like that now, Family Guy and, you know, The Simpsons and even, you know, branching into, like, full-length feature films. You know, there's a lot of risque stuff going on with those. So it'll be nice talking with Ron. Had a pretty awesome career. I shot him the studio number because for some reason I called him, was going straight to voicemail. And we should have him pretty soon. We're going to be back on the 30th for actor and comedian Alan Gitlin, G-Man. He's going to be joining us. It's going to be nice talking with Alan. And let's see here. I turned 30 a few days ago, which was pretty interesting. I feel like Sorry, he was Facebooking me. Let me do that. I'm going to try to call him back. Not sure what's going on with the phone thing there. But I am going to run off for a second. I'm going to have to play, I guess I'll play the Sex Ain't Love again by Warren. I really need to get some new stuff on the switchboard here. So, sorry, guys. I'll try to hurry back and just... All righty, we're back. Excuse me. Looks like our special guest is with us, Ron Thompson.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. How are you?
I don't know what. Something was wrong with my phone. I don't understand it. But anyway, I'm using my friend's phone. So, how you doing?
Wait, I'm good. You can't really count on technology. It always seems to leave you behind when you need it the most.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What has it been, about 3 years?
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I see you're still plugging away pretty hard.
Yeah, I've been seeing you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess,
starting off, I did want to ask you, going all the way back to the 1960s when you were first starting off, and ask you about working on the Armstrong Circle Theater opposite a real legend in Robert Duvall.
Yeah, that was my first job. It was live TV. We rehearsed for about 5 or 6 days and just shot it, man. And, whatever happened. I did two of those. And one of them, I'm not going to mention the actor, but one of the shows I did, the actor showed up drunk.
Oh, wow.
He did the show, but it was like an interrogation scene. He was the cop and I was the kid, and he was always in all the rehearsals. He was like, so ba 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 ba. You know, he was like running at me and with his dialogue, you know, making me nervous. And so I would blurt out whatever he wanted. And when we finally did it, he was just like, so, you're Larry Laredo, are you? it was kind of scary, but we did it. And I did another one with Marty Sheen. He had the lead in it, and he was just wonderful. And we became friends. You know, I see him about once every 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. I'm sure it was hard, starting off and being on a live show. That had to be something else.
Yeah, it was. That was the deal, you know. We didn't think anything about it because that's all we had, you know. And and now I'm calling you about my new film, Cargo.
Yeah, that looks very interesting. Tell us all about that and what that is.
Yeah. Says. Well, it's just been out a month, and right now it's on Amazon Prime DVDs and pay-per-view, and it's in a lot of the cable companies. It's in demand, also streaming on in demand. And my friend has a parrot here. I'm in his house, and that's why you're hearing a parrot, maybe. It's a very, very strong little film. It's called Cargo, I play a guy named Anthony Peterson, and he is a wealthy guy who has been kidnapped and held hostage in a metal cargo container, and he has a cell phone that he has to come up with $10 million in 24 hours. Or they leave him to die, and they have his wife someplace else, and they're threatening to gang rape her and kill her on YouTube. And so it's pretty intense. And I'm the only actor on screen for the entire movie. There are other actors that are that I talk to on the phone, but they just get to look at my craggy face. That's it. And people seem to really like it. I was surprised to find out how many online reviewers there are. And we've gotten a lot of really good reviews from these guys. And I wanted to tell you about the soundtrack. The music is, did you ever hear of Tangerine Dream?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Tangerine Dream is it's a pretty well-known band from the 80s, really. They did a lot of soundtracks. They did Risky Business and a lot of very good films. And the lead musician, Thorsten Quinsing, did our soundtrack, and it's really quite good. I call him my co-star. You know, his music is practically another character in the movie. And I hope your people can catch it.
Yeah, it sounds really neat. And anytime that, I think a lot of movies have that music that makes you, gives you the feelings of scared or alone even. And it can really make the movie much more just with the soundtrack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's happening now. It'll probably be maybe 3 or 4 months it'll be on Netflix and all of that, you know, but it's starting out pay-per-view on Amazon Prime. Yeah. So what have you been doing besides this?
Well, I just turned 30, so the body's
hurting. Oh, my
God. I know. I'm just an old-timer now. I don't know. No,
really,
it's been all right, I guess.
Never trust anybody over 30, you know. That's what
they
used to
say about you then, Ron.
Oh, hell, they don't care about me at all. I thought you would be a wrestler by now.
Well, I had my time with that for a few years, and I do miss it a lot, but I don't know. It's not as easy as they make it look. It's a painful business.
I think so. I've known a few wrestlers. They make pretty good actors, and I've worked with a few of them from back in the day. They were like in the 50s and early 60s. You ever hear of Mike Lane?
No, I don't think so, and I'm surprised because I seem to know a lot of the old wrestlers.
Well, he did a pretty good movie with Humphrey Bogart called The Harder They Fall, and it was based on Primo Canary. You know who that is, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he played that part. And I did a film with him, and another guy, gee, I can't think of his name now. Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah. And I got a couple of films that are also going to be on pay-per-view in March. I've done some films with a guy named Joe Black, and there's two of his movies will be on in March called. One is called Jenna, and the other is called Lowtown. Maybe when they're on, I can give you a call on that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I did want to ask you about working on Beretta, because that was such
mm-hmm.
a legendary television series with the iconic Robert Blake starring. How did you become involved with Beretta, and what were some of your memories of working on the show?
Well, I first of all, I did a play with a man named an actor named Strother Martin. Do you know who that is?
Oh yeah, I know the name. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
And if your listeners don't remember his name, if they saw In Cold Blood, he says, "What we have here is a failure to communicate. That was Strother Martin. And we did a play together, and we became really good friends. And he is also a friend, was a friend of, he passed away quite a few years ago, but he was also a friend of Robert Blake's for years. And anyway, I got a part on the show playing a homeless junkie. It was a very good part, and I was quite good in it. I was so much. We shot it down in Skid Row, and I was getting ready for the director to call me. I was supposed to come around the corner, and I'm in costume and I'm looking pretty bad, and a real homeless guy come up to me and said, "Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. You know, you got to come over to the mission. They got a new cook." And about that time, the director said, "Action!" And I thanked him, and I went on. I said, "Damn, I guess I'm doing all right." Anyway, I did the show, and a couple days later, I had told Strother I had done it, and Strother and Bobby went fishing. And Strother said he had a friend that did the show, and he asked him who it was, and he told him. He said, "Oh, yeah, he played the junkie. Oh, he was really good." Well, the next week, he calls me in. Bobby calls me in. He says, "I've been thinking of having this, having a young guy on the show to be kind of my sidekick." He says, "And I want to try you out. We're going to," and I says, "Oh, okay." And, and two or three days later, I'm on the set. There wasn't even any part for me yet. We had a name, that was it, Nopke, and we kind of ad-libbed some stuff that first week. And the next week, I had dialogue, and I did about seven shows in about a year and a half, and then it kind of fizzled out, but it was good. I enjoyed it. You know, he's a terrific actor, and I felt honored to be working on the show. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it was a great honor, and you know, some great memories.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, when all this stuff about his wife being murdered, the very second that the police arrested him, they stopped playing the reruns, and I was always pretty much guaranteed a really nice check every year from Beretta, you know, and suddenly that money stopped. There was no reruns anymore from it, and that's a shame, you know. And he can't get any work anymore because whether he was acquitted or not, you know, the public decides that he's guilty, and that's the end of it, you know. And it's just too bad because he's really a good actor. He's a little bit screwy, you know, but I don't know. I hadn't seen it when the murder happened. I hadn't known him for, it was probably about 20 years, and so I really don't know. But the guy that I knew, if he had done it, he would have admitted it. Because he's that crazy. He's just like, he would have said, "Yeah, I did it. She had it coming," you know. So
wow.
I don't know. I just don't think he actually did it. But who knows? He knows. That's all.
Yeah, he had a long career, and unfortunately, being that I'm still young, that's kind of my only, you know, memories of him in the spotlight is with the murder investigation and everything. But he did really have a stellar career.
Oh, yeah. In Cold Blood, he was just fantastic in that movie. Yeah, that was the first thing I ever saw him do, and I was just, like, blown away by his performance.
And you also did a really neat film called American Pop with Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was that like? Animation and movies was kind of new back then and everything. It was a new foray, I guess.
Yeah. For your listeners that don't know, it's an animated film, but it was done through a process called rotoscope. And the script is very realistic. It's a story about five generations of a family of musicians, and we shot it on a soundstage, in costume, and a very minimal set. If you had to go through a door, there was a door, but there was no wall. When we shot this film in black and white, then they edited that film, then each frame of the picture, there's 24 frames per second, each frame of that picture was blown up into a photograph, and the animator, this is back when they were using actual animators, not computer. The animator would trace the actor and then draw the background in and color it and all. And so what you actually see is you're not just getting the actor's voice. You're getting the actor's physical appearance, emotional performance, and physical movement. It's a tracing of the actor. And so it's a really good film. I saw it recently. Some friend of mine was showing it, and every time I see it, it's like it's really, really impressive. It's a brilliant movie. If anybody hasn't seen it, you know, you can get it a few places online. They have it, or you can actually order it. I think eBay or Amazon have it. It's a really, really strong film, and I think we talked about this before. My career kind of fell apart in the 90s to the place where, you know, because I had done quite a bit. I did Broadway. I won a theater award in L.A., and I did a lot of TV and stuff. And then by the 90s, I wasn't getting anything. I just wasn't getting any auditions, and it was just very depressing to the place where I just stopped acting. And I got on, and in 2010, I got on Facebook, and the second I got on Facebook, people from all over the world. Oh, let me back up. American Pop, as brilliant as it was a bomb at the time. People that would have liked it didn't see it, and the other people didn't get it. And so it was just a big bomb, and it was very depressing. And all of my work, I played two characters. I played father and son in it. And all of that good work was just seemed like it was just down the drain, and it was an animated film, and nobody really knew. They just thought I was just a voice. They didn't really realize they were looking at a tracing. So anyway, I get on Facebook. Suddenly, I get people from all over the world contact me and tell me that. American Pop had become a cult classic, and I had no idea. And all these young people knew what rotoscoping was. They knew the work that I had done on the film, and they had been looking for me. And what happened was, two of the filmmakers, young filmmakers, were my biggest fans. James Dillon, who wrote and directed Cargo, and Joe Black, who did all these other films I told you about. And these guys were put me back in the movies again. it all come around after a pop doing American pop and having it come out in 81 and 2013 or 2014 I started working on these movies because of American pop. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was. It was. So I'm kind of back.
Yeah, that's great that you saw the resurgence, because I think sometimes, you know, a lot of actors pass away and they may not get to experience that that cult following in their project. So I think that's neat that you're still here and you're still going at it, you know, thankfully because of this great movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's I feel like I could very possibly have a better career today than I ever had before. You know, so I'm very excited about it all. Yeah.
Well, that's great, Ron. I guess my last question is, you know, we talked about it a little bit, is what does the future hold for you? I'm sure you're still wanting to be in some great projects.
Yeah, well, besides the two films I told you, Low Town and Jenna, which will be on pay per view in March. Joe Black has another project called Celebrity Crush that we'll be doing sometime next year, and who knows what else? You know, I'm hoping that some big movie director sees Cargo and says, gee, I want him in my big budget movie. That'll be cool. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, then you could get all the, you know, those royalty checks keep coming back to you.
Yeah, they're not that big, but I got one today for $5. But they come in handy sometimes, you know, and I should get some residual things from Cargo eventually, you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They always come in handy.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Well, thank you so very much for thinking of me again, Ron, and wanting to come back on. It's always nice talking with you.
Same here, buddy. Same here. Thank you.
And, absolutely. Best
of
luck.
I'll be looking for you in Facebook.
I'll be there, sir.
Okie doke, buddy. Thank you.
I thank you. All righty. Big thanks to Ron Thompson. If you guys just happened to tune in a few minutes ago and you missed the start of the interview, you can go back in about 15, 20 minutes and download the full thing. And as I mentioned, we will be back on the 30th with Alan Gitlin, a.k.a. G-Man, actor and comedian. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.